Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the Master Instructor Roundtable. I'm Marty Miller with co-host, dear friend, fellow Master Instructor, NASM expert, Miss Wendy Batts. Wendy, how's everything going today?
I'm great, Marty. How are you?
Good. As always, I'm excited when we get to do this, reach out to our NASM community. A lot of times we put together content on questions that were asked, and then sometimes we bring in very special guests like we are going to do this week. This week, we have Sam Miller, who's the founder of Proteus. His expertise lies in personalized training, industry evolution, and the fusion of fitness and technology. So let's bring in Sam and we'll jump into a great conversation.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hey, Wendy. Hey, Marty. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here. And guys, as we go through this, we are live today. So as we ask Sam questions that Marty and I have for him, we would love for you to go ahead and type in some information too, if you have some questions for Sam, so we can make sure we get those answered before the end of our webinar today. But Sam, I'm going to go ahead and ask you the first question, if you're fine with that. We're going to just jump right in. I would love for you to be able to tell us a little bit about your background and then how that led you into the sports performance and fitness industry.
Yeah, sure thing. Happy to be here and thank you for the questions and thank you for having me on today. So it's really a pleasure. So I'm as you said, I'm Sam Miller. I'm the founder and CEO of Proteus Motion. We've developed a very revolutionary performance testing and training tool. That is really around just building better and more capable, longer living humans with a very revolutionary approach to strength and power measurement and training. And how I got into this was really through my own kind of personal experience growing up as an athlete outside of Boston. Had a series of kind of painful joint conditions in my knee, put me in and out of physical therapy and training. And I remember distinctly, I was 14 years old, walking out of a training session with a teammate who was recovering from an oblique strain. And we had a sheet of paper that had the same training program on it. And that kind of created this underlying, or exposed to me this underlying issue around the need for personalization. And that led to kind of a deeper realization that the limitations in personalizing a program, especially for training, wasn't so much around the talent of the trainers or the clinicians. It was more around the tools and technology that's available for them to use and leverage easily to be able to kind of inform personalized training decisions. So that was kind of the foundation, I think, of my frustration of this space. And fast forward 20 years, I was working in a very different career in engineering in the healthcare and life sciences space, and became very interested in biometrics and noticed that there was a lot of advancement going on in the fitness technology space. But a lot of it was around digitizing existing pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that the real problem was around this void in data, specifically around strength and power, one of the most important pillars of human performance. And that led to a realization that in order to solve that problem, you need to create a new machine altogether. And that's what we did. And so I started using kind of inspiration from something that my dad invented at MIT in the early 90s. I used that as a mechanical foundation for, a prototype that I then used to build software around and a new mechanical design. And that was kind of the foundation of Proteus. And it's really about being able to build better athletes and longer living humans with a revolutionary approach to strength and power measurement.
Love it.
Excellent, Sam. And, you talked about individualizing. That's what we've always said here at NASM. So our audience is going to definitely connect with that. So if you can tell us, at the beginning when you were starting this journey, what tests or assessments did you use and or find inconclusive or maybe even irrelevant?
Sure. My commentary on what is or isn't relevant is really specific to me and my opinions. I think one of the things that is a strength that Proteus has with me as the founder and CEO is that I'm kind of an outsider in this space. I know what I don't know. So while I spent, you know, years kind of homeschooling myself and reading thousands of, you know, textbooks and research papers and talking to thousands and thousands of trainers and clinicians and so forth, I definitely was able to have kind of a different view on a solution to the problem that I think a lot of people saw, which is that measuring strength traditionally is very one-dimensional or uniplanar. And so, you know, how much can you squat up, down, or sagittal plane movements in, out, and not so much rotational or multiplanar or functional, as some may say. And so from my experience, I think that if you ask the question of like, how is strength measured? And you say, well, traditionally, or, you know, it's the squat, or if you're watching the NFL combine, it's how many times can you bench 225? Yeah. You ask the question, are those the most important movements that you need to measure strength on? And my opinion on that is no, they're definitely not. But they're easy. They're easy to measure, which makes sense. So our position on this is, well, what if we could make it a lot easier to, you know, measure rotational movements and multiplanar movements for strength? And that's kind of what we've done, is created a sports science lab in a box that's, you know, would otherwise require 20 pieces of equipment and 3 hours of time in a lab. And that's, we produce, you know, five times more information than that, that's actually actionable in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I love that. And then looking at what you guys have designed, I know another big component with the strength, obviously, is power and movement and quality. I think it's the way that you measure things is more symmetrical, right? So you're seeing what the difference is between left and right. With all of this stuff and the data that you're putting together or that you've gathered up into this point, in your personal opinion, and again, I know it's all personal because Marty and I have followed NASM's power, and we are big advocates for the performance enhancement specialists that NASM has out there. But why do you feel measuring power is so important?
Sure. I think power is, looking at it through the sports lens, mm-hmm. power is the currency of sport. You can be incredibly, incredibly strong, but if you cannot use that strength to produce a velocity, it's not very useful. And so I think this all goes back to the, you know, firmly established scientific principles around the force velocity curve and training along the curve. Is that, you know, to be, you know, a high performing human being, let alone athlete, you need to be able to produce speed, right? Starting from a foundation of strength, and then from there, be able to, you know, create explosive movements and do that dynamically and through multiple planes of motion. So, going further though, if you think about for Proteus, you know, we've got 400 partner sites in the US and Canada. There are now more than 75,000 Proteus users, and they range from age 8 to 98. They also include some of the best athletes in the world across all major sports, from, you know, Patrick Mahomes to Jon Rahm, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, Damian Lillard, Justin Verlander, you kind of name it, across all major sports. We've developed a database that is now more than 1 billion data points. That's new normative data. It is redefining how we think about human capabilities. And it's, we like to say, it's the world's first and only database for multiplanar and total body and functional physical strength and power. And when you look at some of the insights that we've found from that, there are huge differences, for example, as you age, how the strength and power of uniplanar movements declines versus multiplanar movements. And we're the first ones to actually have been able to determine that. And I can go deeper on that topic because it's fascinating. We're kind of proving things that were originally hypotheses around, you know, when you're going to try to, you know, train somebody, no matter who they are, it has to start with an assessment. And then the question is, well, what do you assess? And, you know, given the limitations of time, tools, expertise, it's got to be easy. It's got to be fast. It's got to be very actionable. It's got to make sense. And if you can bring in movements that are multiplanar, which is really how humans operate in a multiplanar world, it becomes incredibly powerful to be able to employ that data to enhance the results that you get from personal training or athletic training.
Oh, great point, Sam. And for those of you just joining us today on the Master Instructor Roundtable, Marty Miller here with co-host Wendy Batts and special guest Sam Miller, the founder and CEO of Proteus. We're talking about rotational power, assessing power, and analyzing performance. So Sam, I think I know where you're going to go with this, but we'll throw it out there anyways. Is it still important if you do not train aspiring elite athletes to test for power?
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's I could go on and on and on about the reasons why, but I think I'll use one example, which is, first of all, when you're thinking about uniplanar versus multiplanar movements, I mean, everyone I think intuitively knows that multiplanar movements are really important, right? More than, I don't know, 95%, if not more, of human movement is in, you know, multiple planes of motion, right? You very rarely move. You very rarely perform just strict uniplanar movements, right? So it's obviously very critical to be able to evaluate multiplanar movements. As it relates to power, though, again, it comes down to the point of, right, you can gain incredible strength, right? And if you cannot use that strength, right, to produce a velocity, that's going to inhibit your ability to do things like, you know, whether it's, swinging a bat or a golf club, just as much as it is being able to take heavy groceries out of the car and move them, you know, into a cupboard above your head, right? And when you think about some of the things that we've found using our first ever normative data set on, you know, multiplanar strength and power, some interesting standouts come to mind. One of them being that with power specifically, first of all, power is the first thing that you lose when you're not training. You actually maintain strength for a long time. If you build foundational strength, it sticks with you for a while. Power, on the other hand, does not. Power is one of the first things that you lose when detraining. So it's actually one of the things that you want to be training the most and most frequently, arguably more so than strength, once you have foundational strength. But beyond that, as you get older, we've found that you lose power for rotational movements almost 20% faster, 18% faster than uniplanar movements. So every 10 years you age, you lose 10% of power across your body, especially for uniplanar movements. For rotational movements, you lose it 18% faster. So as you get older, the movements that you actually want to be focusing on the most are multiplanar movements more so than uniplanar movements.
And yeah, way to make me feel good about myself, Sam. Appreciate that as I get older, you know. But I'm going to ask a question, but then I'm going to follow it up with an example because I want to make sure that, especially with our NASM audience, they can kind of correlate your answer. And again, I know it's more of your opinion, and then also based on what you found in research. But my question to you is, what types of training programs or protocols improve someone's power output? And for the example is in our NASM OPT model that we have, we use contrast, or some people call it complex training, in one of our power phases, for example. So are there others that trainers and coaches should consider?
Sure. One way to think about it for sure is just think about it from a VBT or velocity-based training standpoint. So if you are training, you know, a movement at maximal effort, and you have that movement, whatever that movement may be, loaded to the point that maximal effort for you is you are achieving basically 0.75 meters per second or less, you're training strength. So as you are kind of working your way through the force velocity curve, if you reduce the load, right, and you're still going max effort, you should theoretically be able to move that load at a faster speed. And when you're training in the 0.75 to 1.25 meters per second range, that is training power. So you're kind of in the middle of the force velocity curve, right? And then the tail end of it is really training acceleration, which is when you're training at 1.25 meters per second or higher. So it's really about the speed at which you are able to manipulate or move a load. And as that load decreases, right? So we're not talking about 1RMs, we're talking about, right? Whereas that load decreases, you're able to move that that lesser load at a higher speed. And when you're in that 0.75 to 1.25 meters per second range, you are training power. And that's kind of in the middle of the curve. And it is fundamentally important to be in training in general for any movement, no matter what movement, you're training along the curve. If you're just training, you know, 1RMs, you know, that's only going to get you so far, right? So the whole purpose is you need to be training along the curve. And what we help you do is not just offer a method to train along the curve, but information to know when to train at certain points of the curve and for any movement, which is really a first. So what our software does is it really provides in just a matter of minutes, a kind of report that tells you how you compare to someone like you based on our database, what percentile you're in, how you compare, what's your power age, right? For example, what's your acceleration age for different, depending on what kind of cohort demographic you are. And then what do you do? What areas of the body should you specifically or this individual focus on? Is it rotational movements? Is it horizontal pressing? Is it, you know, lower body vertical pushing, right? Across all these different kind of movement categories. And then how should you be training? And what our software tells you is train in these velocity ranges for these movements, here recommended exercises. And then it gives you, based on the classification, it's force velocity profiling and helps you easily make decisions about how should someone be training, what areas of the body, and then to be able to communicate to that to them in a way that they understand and get excited about.
Excellent. Thanks for that explanation. I think the force velocity curve is very important for people to truly understand and digest. So moving forward here, are there any specific modalities that are most ideal for power development? Obviously, we know Olympic lifting, medicine balls are great tools. You know, any limitations or any suggestions?
So, a couple. I mean, med balls are great tools for power development. I think since you want to be training at a high velocity, and you want to be thinking about safety as well. Movements that involve like throwing a ball, for example, where you're releasing something, can be very, very effective. Alternatively, something that is more of a concentric muscle contraction, which is kind of what Proteus provides, because Proteus, I would argue, is not the ideal tool at all for training strength. Foundational strength for certain movements, right? There are better tools out there to train foundational strength. But from a power standpoint, because it is almost entirely concentric muscle contraction and because it allows you to train triplanar movements, it's like the ultimate tool for being able to develop triplanar power and speed. But med balls are another phenomenal tool. I think cable machines in a lot of ways for certain movements can be really effective as well. You're thinking about that, like doing those movements that are high velocity. Once you've developed that foundational strength and you're starting to think about, all right, let's now translate this into a movement that's either more dynamic or, you're able to generate more velocity and not just doing kind of a 1RM or some heavy loaded movement like that. That's kind of where you're focusing on power. It's really, what do you do with the strength that you have? Let's now translate that to real life where you can start to manipulate forces in a way that are going to benefit you in real life and sport.
So Sam, how often are you having people retest?
Good question. We see a variation in retesting frequency. We see, in some cases, we've got sites that are doing retesting every week or 2 weeks. Often those are the sites that are doing the kind of hybrid of like they're training on Proteus while they're also testing, because it kind of does it, you know, at the same time. But I think most often we're seeing in the like every 2 to 4 weeks is really the range that we want to see retesting and where we probably see it the most. And then we've got a lot of the way that this works in a lot of the partner sites that we work with, the hundreds that we work with in the US and Canada, is that anyone that walks in the door of the facility, they're getting assessed on Proteus, right? It's mm-hmm. like, you know, and often in lieu of doing something like the FMS, but it's not a replacement for that. It's just a, you know, we're doing things that the FMS is not doing and the FMS does things that we're not doing, but it's super efficient. And you can have a novice trainer honestly operate this and get this information in minutes, which is very, very helpful when you're thinking about facilities that want to create a standardized assessment. And oftentimes there's a lot of like training and education for trainers around that. And we've designed this so it's pretty turnkey. Bringing this, you get Proteus into your facility, and then you've now can introduce strength and power assessments in minutes to anyone. A lot of then what happens then is the information that you get from Proteus is used as the foundation for how should an individual be training, right? So they use that as a foundation for let's create an individualized training program for someone, and let's be able to prove our value, because the, you know, what we're being paid for as a business, you know, to deliver results to a client, the trainer is able to approve that and show their value objectively. Are you progressing, right? Where do you stand, and are you progressing in what areas of the body? And then you can see the clear results of that. So we see testing and retesting done pretty frequently. And a lot of the sites we work with have turned that into an extension of their revenue model. And it becomes a significant ROI driver.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Sam. You kind of covered this, but I'm going to take this with a little different twist. So, you know, when I was prepping this, I'm like, all right, I need to know if there's a correlation of age, gender, fitness level, and power norms, which I can tell you guys are building that. But then also looking forward with AI, will that have an impact on the training programs, especially now that you're gathering so much specific data?
Yes. Awesome questions. So we have, I'll say this, we have in our assessment product is that when you know, do a standardized test, you can create your own test, but if you do a standardized test, one of them is a 15 movement full body test that takes about 4.5 minutes. And you're doing, you know, upper extremity, lower extremity, you know, core, rotational, multiplanar, uniplanar, you name it. And the output tells you, how do you compare based on the filters that you set to someone like you? Age, sex, height, weight, you know, sport, if there is one, even skill level. So where do I stand? How far off am I aspirationally from the next skill level up or age level down, right? Which gives these very objective benchmarks of, okay, wait, I am, you know, I'm 38, but if I get results that say that I'm, you know, operating at a 48 year old level, that's going to be very motivating to me. Yeah. Fortunately, that's not the case, but you know, it's everyone's a work in progress. So and then how are you progressing? And then what do you do, right? So these recommendations, and it, up until recently, we've just given these reports that you just can kind of take and incorporate as you wish, because our job is not to replace a trainer, right? Our job is to arm the trainer with information that's super turnkey and fast and easy to understand, that lets them enhance what they're already good at doing, right? And that means, you know, establishing whether it's firm benchmarks, you know, being able to track progress very easily across all these different movement areas. And then, of course, making it easier for the trainer to understand where should this individual work on and why, and then be able to match it up with their goals. So we used to just give that information, and now we're piloting something that's in beta where we're using AI to create a multi-week program. And that multi-week program, again, is still meant to right now to be configured by the trainer in some way, because we know that the trainers are a critical part of this equation. And I think a mistake that we often see is technology is trying to come in and just try to automate something, and it's the result is like either low quality, or it kind of undercuts the key piece of the equation, which is like the trainer. And so what we like to do is we like to say, let's make the things that are either impossible currently to do that we know are really valuable, easier and obtainable, and make it accessible and feed it in a way that the trainer can use to dramatically enhance the quality and the efficiency of their services. And that's kind of like, I guess, a foundational mindset that we have that drives a lot of our product development. And especially as we get into program creation that's automated using AI, that's a big consideration. And I think we're going to do that really, really well.
Yes, we got a comment. Well said. No way AI can keep up with the real-time feelings and judgments. So I agree.
I totally agree.
If you guys have questions for Sam, please be sure to put them in the comments so we can get them answered. I know, Marty, we both have, I think, one more piece, but before we take any other questions that come from the audience. But Sam, where do you see the fitness and sports performance industry going? So let's look out 2 years. Where do you see us in 2 years?
I think assessment in general is going to become, I think a lot of the experts in the field have known for, you know, forever really how important assessment is. And I think up until recently, the primary struggle has been what to assess and how, and to make that accessible and easy. And I think that given advancements in some significant advancements in different technologies, not just around strength and power, but around, you know, body comp and, you know, and heart rate and VO2 max, a lot of these tools, the suite of these tools together is now making that really obtainable and actionable and accessible in a way that has brought it out of a research lab. And that's kind of why I go back to the point on the strength and power side saying, you know, what we're doing with Proteus is you need 20 pieces of equipment in a lab in 3 hours of time. That's the alternative. So we're delivering this information in 5 minutes that anybody can understand. And the proof is that we've got, you know, almost 100,000 users that are age 8 to 98. So I think the assessment part is going to be a big driver of the future of the fitness space. And what happens beyond that is all going to tie back to benchmarking established from the assessment. And then the trainer relationship with the client is going to be kind of magnified because that's the glue that holds us all together. And if you can make a technology or suite of technologies work together that empower the trainer, that's key. And that's where I think we're really, really close to making that happen. I think that's going to be very transformative in the space.
So Marty, do you find it shocking that he said assessments?
Well, we've been preaching it for 25 years.
So, Sam, there you go. We say it every single MIR, Sam, every single MIR.
Validating that. But no, Sam, this has been highly informative. Validates a lot of the things that we think we've always been saying. But as you said, sometimes you have to put a tool to the concept. So thank you for, you know, sharing all that information and creating this amazing tool. But before we leave, the most important thing is how would our audience contact you?
Good question. So first of all, we've got great resources about Proteus on our social media platforms. If you're on Instagram, at Proteus Motion, it's a great place to see a lot of videos and how other people are using it. All of our growth has been word of mouth. So it's all kind of user generated content, and which we love to see because we like to see like the leaders and pioneers in the space help educate the market about how to use Proteus and why. So that's good background. To get in touch with us, go to our website, which is www.proteusmotion.com. That's P-R-O-T-E-U-S motion.com. There's a little blue button that says request a demo. Click that and then just fill out a form and one of our member of our team will be in touch. I highly, highly recommend speaking with somebody from our team because Proteus is its own animal. This is completely new and different as both a testing and a training tool than anything that has existed before in this space. And there's a lot of misconceptions about it. And I know that because we've been doing this for 8 years now. And in the last two has been all the growth. So I've seen the evolution of how people perceive us and still misunderstood. So definitely take the time, even 10, 15 minutes, somebody on the phone from our team, and we can answer all the questions. And I guarantee it will be worth the time, and you'll learn things that are beyond what you understood about produce that are going to be very exciting.
I love it. Well, Sam, thank you so much for being a part of today. Loved having you on our Master Instructor Roundtable. If other questions do come in, we'll be sure to shoot them your way. But we know how busy you are, and so it really means a lot that you've taken time out of your day to join us. And I just we'll see you hopefully very, very soon. And those of you guys that are listening, just look in our show notes. You're going to see a link that takes you to a survey. And if you will take the time to fill out that survey, that gives Marty and I some information on topics and ways that we can better our MIR, which is what our ultimate goal is. Please fill out that survey, and you have the opportunity to win a $100 gift card to Amazon. So we really, again, Marty, thank you, as always, for being a part of this and coming up with some questions. I know having Sam on was something we were both looking really forward to.
Yeah, learned a lot. Great information. So all of you that joined us today, thank you so much, as always. And of course, we can't wait to see you again next week on the Master Instructor Roundtable.